Hello, I am Sandra Ezekwesili, and you come to me for hard facts. The world keeps turning, and you're trying to keep up.
The fight against coronavirus has the Oxford.
But there's so much noise drowning out the news. Talking heads, broadcast messages, press releases. They're telling you their side, but you just want the facts. And that's why you come to me. I give you the statistics without spin.
Out of 116 million working age Nigerians, 35.5 million are employed full-time. That's 30%.
I give you the context.
I give you the history.
I fight fake news with facts.
Kayode.
Let me talk.
No, Kayode, I will let you talk. Kayode. Kayode, I will let you talk if you let me talk. Kayode.
That's why more and more Lagosians are tuning in.
1,720,970,000 of you,
they know that if you give me your afternoon, I will give you hard facts.
Well done, Sandra, on all you do, going beyond the headlines and focus on the facts.
I am Sandra Ezekwesili, and these are your hard facts.
Hard fact of the day, 3,718 new confirmed COVID cases over the weekend. The numbers went up again, even though Sunday's figure was actually relatively low. And that's because Friday was a monster. So I'm appealing to all 970,000 of you, please be careful out there. Limit your movement to the essential things. Wear a mask when you have to go out. Keep your distance where possible. Wash and sanitize your hands as often as you can. And you don't have to go outside to get your hard facts. I'll bring them to you wherever you are, starting with the big weekend. Let's talk about the central bank stopping all financial institutions from serving any company that handles cryptocurrency. Then let's talk about the WHO and the federal government correcting some newspaper reports about vaccine availability. And then let's talk about the Lagos NSARS panel letting LCC restart revenue collection at the Lekki Tollgate Plaza. On my way to work today, I passed the Tollgate Plaza again, and turns out that there are police vehicles there. I'm guessing the police vehicles are there because you have currently trending on Twitter, Occupy Lekki Tollgate. Young Nigerians seem to be trying to get themselves to occupy that place and stop it from being tolled again. It's the other Monday, so let's bring you Madam Landlord, where we'll talk about the eternal debate between landlords and tenants. Who shows the other more pepe? There's no special guest on the show today. We're just going to talk to you who has been a landlord, or you who is currently a tenant, or who's currently a landlord. Call me, message me, tell me who is worse in your experience. Let's have that conversation from 4 o'clock. From 5 p.m., we'll talk about the reopening of the toll plaza for revenue collection. We're going to look at the various angles to reopening the toll plaza. News updates will come your way on the hour every hour. Listen to every minute of the show, because just a minute questions come from every minute of the show. If you'd like to win on this show, listen to every minute. But let's get started with today's big weekend.
The big weekend.
CBN's new restrictions on cryptocurrency affect Nigerians. You just had a conversation on the Sunny Side about that. Let's continue it here. How will these new restrictions on cryptocurrency affect Nigerians? How soon will COVAX get vaccines to Nigeria? And should LCC return to work at the Lekki Tollgate? I'm Sandra Ezekwesili, and these are your hard facts. It was a big weekend, Lagos. Let's talk about it. On Friday, while we were on air, by the way, we got news that the central bank was putting some restrictions on cryptocurrency. And then by evening, the CBN confirmed it in a tweet. That tweet reads, CBN prohibits regulated institutions from dealing in cryptocurrencies or facilitating payments for cryptocurrency exchanges. That's what the tweet said. So now banks and other financial institutions cannot trade in cryptocurrency. They cannot trade in that. They cannot provide services to platforms that allow trading in crypto. On Balogun Broad on Wednesday, we're going to take a deep look at this subject. We're going to talk about cryptocurrency, all the businesses that have sprung up around cryptocurrency. But joining us right now on the show to have this conversation, I spoke with him over the weekend, actually, and we had quite the talk about what this new policy means. He's a guest from Steers Business.
Lagos, I have the editor-in-chief at Steers Business on the show with me. He is Tokunbo Afikuyomi. Tokunbo, thank you so much for joining us on the show today. Happy New Year.
Hi, Sandra. Happy New Year to you too.
Now, what precisely has the CBN circular banned?
So, Sandra, the CBN has, in its usual fashion, out of the blue, directed that commercial banks and other financial institutions identify any entity that is operating in, or entity or individual that is operating in cryptocurrency exchanges, and to close their bank accounts immediately.
Right.
What that means is any individual, you know, like you or myself, that is trying to deposit money from our commercial banks into a cryptocurrency exchange,
right,
that transaction will not be allowed to happen.
Right.
So I've had instances where I've had friends who just, you know, as early as yesterday night,
mm-hmm,
were trying to deposit money into a cryptocurrency exchange, mm-hmm, and the money bounced back.
Oh, wow.
Similarly, if you try and withdraw money from a cryptocurrency exchange to your bank account,
mm-hmm,
that is also being blocked and banned by the CBN.
Huh.
So individuals trying to basically engage in any way with a cryptocurrency exchange, that is what the CBN is trying to stop. And similarly, the exchanges who own also have bank accounts.
Mm-hmm.
So the cryptocurrency exchanges, the startups like, you know, Binance, Bitcoin, you know, they also are unable to do their normal dealings with their commercial bank.
Mm.
And so now have to find an alternative for where they keep their cash.
So to be clear, dealing in cryptocurrency hasn't been banned. It's just that you can't fund it using a Nigerian bank.
Yes. So cryptocurrency in themselves have not been banned by the CBN, and just by the nature of cryptocurrencies,
mm-hmm,
it's not even possible to try and ban their use.
Mm.
What the CBN is banning is basically transacting with exchanges. So I can still send you Bitcoin,
mm-hmm,
you know, via any other means,
mm-hmm,
but I cannot go and buy Bitcoin on a cryptocurrency exchange,
mm,
using a Nigerian bank account.
So if
I really wanted to, I could use a bank account in Ghana,
mm-hmm,
or in the US to,
mm-hmm,
send money to a cryptocurrency exchange in Nigeria.
Mm-hmm.
I just can't do that using a Nigerian bank account.
What exactly are cryptocurrency exchanges? Because you've been saying that again and again and again. What are these?
So I guess from the top, cryptocurrencies are basically digital currencies. And I think the most popular that most of our listeners might have heard of is Bitcoin. And Bitcoin is only one of, I think, around 2,000 different cryptocurrencies that exist.
Oh, wow.
And all these different coins, mm-hmm, yeah, there are about 2,000 of them. And they all have different use cases, right?
Mm.
And they are built in different ways as well.
Mm-hmm.
So cryptocurrencies, again, they gained popularity probably around 2016, 2017, mm-hmm, where their prices started to rise significantly. So, mm-hmm, Bitcoin, you know, went from like $3,000 at the beginning of January 2017 to like, you know, almost $20,000 by the end of the year. So,
mm-hmm,
that was when it started to gain a lot of popularity.
Mm-hmm.
And so what happened during that era, and also last year, was a rise in people creating formal exchanges for where I can, me as an individual, can go and buy Bitcoin.
Mm-hmm.
So the same way people buy stocks and shares on the Nigerian Stock Exchange,
mm-hmm,
that's what I mean by cryptocurrency exchange.
I see. Huh.
Basically, it's a platform where I can go on and buy my naira or my dollars or any currency. Really.
Mm-hmm.
I can buy you know, fractions of Bitcoin,
mm-hmm,
Litecoin, or any of the cryptocurrencies. So think about it the same way you think about Nigerian Stock Exchange.
Now, in the past, we've seen the CBN call out cryptocurrency because of concerns about criminals using it to launder money, or fears that people who are speculating on crypto may lose their money. Now, I've heard supporters of crypto say that there are positive use cases for it, and that the positive use cases outnumber the risks. What are those use cases?
Yeah, so I think, you know, definitely from the start of Bitcoin and other cryptocurrencies that rival the scene, there was this fear of, because of a lack of regulation and oversight,
right,
there's a fear that people were being being susceptible to fraud, and also that others, because of Bitcoin, because of the way Bitcoin is created, or the way it was, the technology behind it,
right,
it is more, there is more privacy with Bitcoin, the Bitcoin wallet, than say a normal bank account. So if somebody is trying to move money in a slightly more secretive way,
right,
Bitcoin can do that for you more than a bank account would. Okay. And it's also not as, it's not as risky as moving cash around, right? So Bitcoin kind of helps solve that problem, I guess, for terrorists or any money laundering in that aspect, which is why, you know, regulators have been very anti, one of the reasons why they have been very cautious on Bitcoin and other cryptocurrencies. But again, that is similar to fiat currency. By fiat currency, I mean like official currency, where even with Naira dollars, you do have people using these things for terrorism and, you know, money laundering.
Mm-hmm.
But the question is, are the benefits to us using, you know, cash, the benefits of cash outweigh those
there is.
I guess, exactly. Mm. So it's just because somebody's using Naira for money laundering doesn't mean we should now ban the use of Naira, right?
Mm-hmm.
So again, your question was about the benefits of the
yes. What are the use cases that are the positive use cases?
Yeah, so there are quite a few, and it's interesting because the countries that have adopted Bitcoin and cryptocurrencies the quickest have also been the countries that have issues with their official currencies. So, for example, Nigeria,
mm-hmm.
it has become a very, very hot market for cryptocurrency. And the reason for that is because of all our struggles with the Naira. So whether it's high inflation or the depreciation of the exchange rate. So what Bitcoin can, one of the use cases for Bitcoin is that it's a store of wealth. So if I'm tired of seeing my Naira depreciate because of inflation by 15% every year,
mm-hmm.
what I can do is store my money in Bitcoin itself. So I change my Naira to Bitcoin,
mm-hmm.
and my assumption is that Bitcoin will not reduce in value because of inflation. Obviously, you can reduce in value if the price of Bitcoin falls,
mm-hmm.
but you can also increase in value if the price of Bitcoin rises.
Mm-hmm.
There are other cryptocurrencies that don't change in price. They're called stable coins.
Oh.
So they hold their value. So you buy a stable coin at a particular rate, and it will remain in that on that rate. So that's one of the use cases of cryptocurrencies. Another one is cross border payments. So in Nigeria, it's very difficult to transfer money in and out. So think of remittances,
mm-hmm.
to send money to somebody in another African continent.
Mm-hmm.
It's expensive. Mm-hmm. You know, you're going to be charging, you know, recharge commission.
Mm-hmm.
One, and sometimes it can take days to get money across
mm-hmm.
these different countries.
Mm-hmm.
So another use case for cryptocurrency, or Bitcoin in particular, is that you can make these transactions much cheaper
mm-hmm.
and faster. So what I can do is I can have my Naira, send it to somebody, or do it to an exchange that would change the Naira into Bitcoin. That Bitcoin can now be changed into Ghana cedis. So indirectly, I've transferred Naira to cedis very quickly through that exchange. So that's another one of the major use cases of cryptocurrency.
Now, Scarce Business published an assessment of this policy. And you say that it's because the CBN is worried about its own access to foreign exchange. What did you mean by that? Can you explain? Can you explain why you think it's the case?
Yeah, so I think the context is that almost every country in the world is going through the same situation Nigeria is going through.
Right.
There is a rise of cryptocurrencies which are decentralized in nature. And so it means that regulators don't have much control over it.
Right.
All central banks are dealing with this issue. And the way they're going about it is taking their time, learning what, you know, these cryptocurrencies actually are, you know, and then trying to draw up rules and regulations around them.
Right.
Right. Everybody is in that same boat. With the CBN is worried about it in terms of fraud.
Mm-hmm.
That is fair.
Mm-hmm.
So are other central banks.
Mm-hmm.
The CBN is also worried about it in terms of monetary policy, right? So let's imagine a world where everybody stops using Naira, dollar, pound, and just start using cryptocurrencies instead.
Mm-hmm.
If that should happen, then central banks essentially lose all their power. what central banks do is that they control the money supply. Yeah. They print money, they reduce money. Monetary policy, interest rates, everything is all down to the change in money supply.
Mm-hmm.
If they don't have power over money supply anymore, then that's the end of their power. So that's another reason why they are cautiously looking at these cryptocurrencies across the board. And some banks have even gone as far as making their own digital currencies. Just to say, okay, if this is going to be the transformation that will happen,
mm-hmm.
let's be part of it.
I mean, you have a Facebook, exactly. for instance, having its own exactly. currency or planning to get its own currency. I think Alibaba as well.
Mm-hmm. And even central banks like Sweden, they've created the Bank of England is doing a lot of work in that space as well to create the digital currency. So they're getting in on it. Now, the CBN's agenda is slightly different. What is happening here is, as people are buying cryptocurrencies, there is a demand for dollar to do that. So, say I want to buy Bitcoin today.
Mm-hmm.
I have Naira.
Mm-hmm.
If I provide that Naira to, if I take that Naira to a cryptocurrency exchange,
mm-hmm.
what happens is the exchange will take my Naira, go to an exchange rate market, be it parallel or official, take that Naira, change it into dollars, and then use those dollars to buy my cryptocurrency. On the face of these platforms, you don't see that. You don't see Naira straight to Bitcoin or Naira straight to Ethereum.
Mm-hmm.
But the underlying model is that dollars is still being used to make these Bitcoin purchases.
Mm.
And so that requirement is almost similar to us using dollars to buy food, right? To import food from abroad, which you know the CBN does not like.
Yeah.
So what is happening is we're importing or we're buying foreign cryptocurrencies. You can look at them now as good. We're buying foreign cryptocurrencies and we're requiring dollars to do that.
Mm.
And what has happened in the last few months is a very, very, very large rise. The number of people engaging in cryptocurrencies.
Hmm.
At the very same time that the central bank is dealing with a pandemic, well, you know, all prices are going down and dollars have become scarce.
Mm-hmm.
And so the central bank has been doing everything it can to reduce any dollar demand, whether it's food you want to import, anything you want to import, they're just trying to restrict that.
Mm-hmm.
And so this is just another piece into that puzzle in that the CBN is finding that the parallel exchange market is facing more stresses because there's been a rise in Bitcoin or cryptocurrency activity that's putting pressure on the Naira because there's a lot of dollars being extracted for it.
Will this thing impact legitimate businesses who use cryptocurrency and their Nigerian customers? What do you think the impact could be?
Oh, yeah, for sure. I mean, cryptocurrency has taken off in Nigeria because of the issues we have with our currency, the restrictions with moving money in and out, remittances. You know, there was a CBN circular a few months ago about remittances where now people can't receive Naira if somebody sends them dollars. Right?
Mm-hmm.
All these problems have pushed people towards cryptocurrencies to try and solve this issue.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Depreciation. I know someone who he basically buys machine items from China, and because of all the depreciation, they have decided to do that purchasing in Bitcoin instead.
Hmm.
So there are many businesses doing these types of things, and especially in cross-border payment, trying to get money between different African countries and also abroad.
Mm-hmm.
All that, I mean, back in 2020, $200 million, according to Bitcoin, $200 million was being traded on a monthly basis in Nigeria. And that's equivalent to the entire second quarter of the Nigerian Stock Exchange movement, right? So it's a lot of money being pushed here. And not only are normal Nigerians heavily involved in it, but also businesses are creating solutions to help deal with all these problems and currency problems in Nigeria.
Right.
You know, many startups have been founded in the last 4 years in this space. You know, received millions of dollars in funding as well.
Yeah.
You know, you have people like Bitcoin, people like Bondo. They have been created in the last 4 years.
Mm.
And just when they're trying to really take off, the CBN is, you know, just basically cutting their wings. So many in legitimate businesses will definitely be harmed by this policy.
But like we said, the CBN talked about criminals using crypto to hide their proceeds, for example. That's a valid concern. Now, would there have been a way for the government to police criminal use of cryptocurrency without taking a step like this that removes crypto from the financial system entirely.
Yeah, I mean, what I want to get across is that the way normal official currencies have people who use it for bad things, terrorism, money laundering, people have been stealing $600 billion has been stolen from Nigeria's wallet in the last, you know, since our independence. That was done without cryptocurrencies, right? You know, politicians stole $600 billion before we even heard about cryptocurrency.
And we also had those people who were found in Dubai to have been funding terrorism here in Nigeria.
Yeah, so, you know, the same way cryptocurrencies have these issues, so does fiat currencies, right? So it's not a case of let's ban the Naira or let's ban cryptocurrencies in general because there are groups that are using it for illegal doings, right?
Right.
The way to approach it is to find a way to plug that gap. You can't stifle an entire new transformation or innovation that is happening across the entire world just because of particular agents are using it for bad things. For sure, that should not be happening.
Mm-hmm.
But the way to go about it is to find a way to plug that gap and capture those wrongdoings. So in the US, there are many, they have basically evolved how they do their investigations with cryptocurrencies, where they're able to track, there have been cases where they have found people who have tried to, you know, use backdoor dealings to do illegal trade
activity
using cryptocurrencies, right?
Mm-hmm.
They upgraded their investigation skills to include cryptocurrencies.
Wow.
Right? They're learning new ways to figure out, okay, who is this person that is doing these dealings, right?
Mm-hmm.
What has this person bought in the past? Which bank accounts are they putting this money in?
Mm.
So that's how the Americans have tried to figure out people who are using cryptocurrency for any illegal doings. They haven't gone to say, let's ban the entire thing, right?
Yeah.
So that's where we should be looking at, as opposed to trying to stifle, you know, normal individuals and businesses.
Okay. We've been talking with the editor-in-chief at Stairs Business, Sokumba Afikuyomi, and I'm hoping that I can convince him after this to come back on Wednesday on Balogun and Broad, and so we can have a longer conversation about this, because there's so many more questions I want to ask. I'm sure you want to talk to him as well. So I will try and twist his arm so he comes back on air on Wednesday so that we can have this conversation. But Tokumba, thank you so much for doing this very quickly with us.
Thank you, Sandra.
At Lagos, we will talk some more about cryptocurrencies after we come back from this break. If you just joined in, you're listening to Hard Facts on 99.3 Nigeria Info. We start
you are listening.
Hard Facts on Monday by taking a look at the biggest stories from the weekend. I am Sandra Ezekwesili. Don't go away. Oh. We're back, Lagos, and our big story today on the big weekend was the central bank putting some restrictions on cryptocurrency. I told you that, and then we went on to have a conversation with the editor-in-chief at Stairs Business, Tokumbo Afikuyomi, and he shared a number of insights that I'm curious what you think. The number to call is 0700-993-993-993. Now, before I take your call, let me tell you that the CBN has written a memo giving its justifications for stopping banks from interfacing with cryptocurrency exchanges. The memo calls crypto, quote, largely speculative, anonymous, and untraceable. And most of the supporters of this move have been focusing on those last two points, that cryptocurrency ownership is anonymous and untraceable. But is it? Is it? Let me give you the hard facts. This is how buying crypto from Nigeria worked before the CBN directive. You get a crypto exchange app on your phone, you open a crypto wallet with a unique number, and you connect it to your account on the exchange. You fund your exchange account with Naira from your debit card and your bank account. Or your bank account, either of both. You use that Naira in your exchange account, buy some crypto, and the exchange puts that crypto in your wallet. Now, let's say that the CBN wanted to know everyone who buys cryptocurrency in Nigeria. They would simply need to tell the crypto exchanges that whenever they are accepting payment from a Nigerian bank, they need to send a record of the account that received the money and the wallet ID of the crypto wallet. Then CBN would also tell the banks to keep a record of every bank account that made a payment to a crypto exchange. With these two pieces of information, the CBN would know the BVN and name of everybody who wants to send money, who sent money into a crypto exchange to buy cryptocurrency. And they would be able to link that BVN and name to specific crypto wallets. And by the way cryptocurrency works, each time one wallet sends crypto to another wallet, the record is public. Everybody in the world can see it. So that means that CBN would know exactly who Nigerians are receiving crypto from and sending it to. And that's why critics of the move are saying that it actually reduces the CBN's ability to monitor crypto activities. So this raises a question. Did the CBN end up banning activity that it could have actually controlled? Did the CBN in the process throw the baby out with the bathwater? Because while the CBN is worried about criminal activity, if there was a way to trace all crypto activity through the banks without stopping all legal activity, wouldn't that have been a win-win? Share your thoughts with me, 0700-993-993-993. In light of what I just described to you, what do you think about the CBN's claim that crypto transactions are untraceable and anonymous? Do you think there was a way for the bank to regulate that space, monitor the activity of that space without disconnecting it from the financial system? 0700-993-993-993. And if you listen to that conversation I had with Tokumbo, tell me what you think about the things that he had to say. Desmond is in Maryland. Hello, Desmond. Thank you very much for calling us.
Yes, Sandra. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Welcome. Go ahead.
Yes, I've been listening to the discussion on cryptocurrencies.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, the strength of the cryptocurrency is based on the fact that it can be regulated. So you can do your transactions without anybody knowing what you're doing.
Mm.
At least the man you brought here, the man that spoke earlier, he supported this, you know. Now, the more the central banks are able to track what people are doing, the more they are able to regulate how people use the cryptocurrencies, you now realize that they are tending to fiat currency, the normal legal tender. So the beauty of these transactions that you are able to do with cryptocurrencies, we now, whittle. That's the first point that I want to make. Now, the second point is that we are living in a world that is becoming dangerous and dangerous and dangerous. And when you provide the opportunity for so many transactions to happen, you know, in an opaque manner, you begin to give leeway to all these dangerous trends that are going on. For instance, the, importation or trading in arms can easily be done through cryptocurrencies. And countries may not be aware, may find no way to check that. You know, trading in drugs may be difficult to check, you know. So all these things are of concern to any well-meaning monetary authority.
Now, let me ask you, Desmond, if at that point people decide to move back to fiat due to regulation, isn't that a win-win? Wouldn't that have happened without a costly ban all of a sudden? Because all of this can easily be done through cash as well. It can be done through gold as well. It's been happening before cryptocurrency.
Yes, that would be a win-win. But the thing there is that it will take a lot of effort to be able to, you know, understand the crypt, cryptography, what we call cryptography,
mm-hmm.
that each of the issuers of the cryptocurrencies is using in its computer system.
Mm-hmm.
Because every cryptocurrency has a cryptographic algorithm that is powering it. And for you to be able to monitor each one of the cryptocurrencies, you need to understand the algorithm that is being used.
But you know that I did mention that if the CBN wanted to know what who was sending what to whom, there were easy ways that they could have gotten that information.
Okay, I don't know if there are easy ways, because the account, the holders of these currencies are not anonymous, you know. And the way each one works is it depends on the programmers who issued each, you know. So I don't know if there are easy ways.
There are ways. I told you, for instance, that anybody who wants to send money into a crypto exchange to buy a cryptocurrency has to send money into a wallet, right?
Mm-hmm.
I told you that, right? Anybody who buys cryptocurrency in Nigeria, at least, they would simply need to tell the crypto exchange that they want to buy this, and then they'll send Naira into that bank account, right? But if a Nigerian bank were to, for instance, get a record of the accounts that receive the money and the wallet ID of the crypto wallet, wouldn't that help with this identification problem that you're talking about?
Yes, it will help, definitely. But the problem lies in the difficulty in doing this. Like somebody mentioned, you have over 2,000 cryptocurrencies, you know.
Yes.
It will help, but there's a lot of difficulty in doing that. That's the problem.
Yes, but we have countries that are already doing it. So why is Nigeria following the road with least resistance, or the path with least resistance? Why?
Well, Nigeria seems not to be alone here. For what I know, in U.S., where, you know, they have some they are ahead of a lot of countries, they are seeing cryptocurrencies as securities, not as money.
Yes, but you have the U.S. Doing things like getting the exchanges and the banks to reveal the identity of wallet holders. That's what the IRS in the U.S. has done with crypto exchanges. So now, once an American does transactions of over $20,000 a year via crypto, the exchanges automatically send that information to the IRS.
Yes, that will be, you see, the one, if we can get to that level, that will help us. So what we can say is that there has to be some level of controlling what is happening. The guy you brought on set said that about $200 million, you know, go into cryptocurrency trades in Nigeria. And I don't know if at this point we can afford that. But what we can say is that if CBN is developing capacity, CBN can develop capacity to monitor this, you know, over time. But for the time being, what should be done? I think that to place some restriction on this could be an interim measure. But the CBN, because this thing is what is happening world over, the CBN, we have to develop capacity, you know, because you may not be able to stop it.
All right. Desmond, thank you very much for calling. 99.3, hello.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Sandra.
What's your name?
Anyway, have Ibuka on the line.
Welcome, Ibuka. Go ahead.
Okay, just like the last caller and your guest, honestly, you see, it's encrypted files, right? Because the account, though the U.S., they are trying to break in to trace people. If you send out anything via blockchain or Luno or whatever thing, you can't really retrace it, say, to want to retrieve your money, because the account is kind of one code. There are so many numbers embedded in that code. You get, once you send in that money, it will go. But I think Nigerian government, CBN policymakers, just like your guest, he said that so many amounts have been put in, same Naira or dollar has been used to purchase, even fraud, so many things. You know, you have not handled that one. Now you just want to block this very entrance. Now, what for people that do own forex? They, at the same time, transact in dollar, right? They purchase dollar using Naira. And even when they make money from their forex, they choose to to send it to be, or to convert it to Bitcoin, or convert it to Naira, or withdraw it from Naira land. There's all that platform they get at. So there's so many companies that have invested in this cryptocurrency. If they are trying to block people access, just using them now, people are trying to survive. Even when I went to the East, some of my brother cousins said they are into this cryptocurrency. I understand the fact that Yahoo guys are trying, they are using it to scam people. Hello?
Yes, I can hear you, huh?
I understand that fact. But why can't they scale up their game? Other country, even the Iran, during the time of MMM, all those things, they had all the Bitcoin platform, you can trade your Bitcoin. I even noticed that time. I still have my blockchain account, though it's just dormant. I know how much I sent you that, you know, with the whatever thing. But coming to put this restriction here because people are buying dollar exchanging and your Naira is with me. Why can't you set policies that will strengthen your Naira than to put policies that will even cause people to be afraid, investors to that will chase investors away? The simple thing now, that it's just like, okay, the fintech guys out there, they shouldn't innovate, they shouldn't do research. No new things. You can pay these guys, they could just maybe on the back end, they will be researching.
Ebuka, thank you very much for calling. I think his airtime ran out there. We've got a message from Old Bliss on Twitter who says, we're missing the big picture here. This is an easy way for the current administration to launder money without any trace by any financial crime institution in the country. The idea isn't really to stop us from using crypto, but to protect their selfish interest. Okay, we've got more messages here. Hold on. All right, Perfect Logistics says Tesla just invested $1.5 billion in Bitcoin and expects to start accepting the cryptocurrency as payment. And back in Nigeria, CBN from the Blues announced a ban on cryptocurrency. Who does that? The fear of the CBN and commercial banks is that they are gradually losing relevance. We've got another message here. On Twitter, but I think I'm just going to leave them a bit and move on to our second story. John, you know, Gudu, you're going to have to call us back because I have a feeling you want to say something about this second story. On Saturday, the NSAS panel here in Lagos voted to let LCC start collecting tolls at the Lekki toll gate again. Remember, the cashiers have not been back since the night of the shooting, 20th of October. Actually, the cashiers have not even been back since the protests started blocking that toll. But since the 20th of October, the panel has been telling the LCC to wait until investigations are over. And now they voted to let LCC go back. It was a 5-4 vote. And there was some drama at the hearing on Saturday when the panel announced the outcome. If you're watching us on Facebook right now, you're seeing footage from the drama that happened during the hearing. So first, the majority decision was read. But when it was time for the minority to read their dissent, the five who voted in favor walked out. But I wonder what you think about this decision. Do you think the panel made the right choice? In your own opinion, did the panel make the right choice? We put out a poll about it on Twitter and we got some very, very interesting numbers. So we're asking on Twitter if the Lekki toll gate should be reopened. And 9% of you voted yes and 91% of you voted no. So you have the Lagosians who think that it's time for things to return to normal at the toll gate. But you have Lagosians who say, no, this thing should be the new normal. Out of respect to those who were shot and killed at the toll gate, that place should be treated like a monument. The cashiers should not return. And all of that. By the way, we're going to be talking about this some more by 5 o'clock. So if you cannot call in right now to share your thoughts on that subject, 5 p.m., give us a call and let's talk about it. And then there's another big question, right? Does LCC still have a legal right to collect money at the toll? That's also another huge question. A question we're going to try and answer at 5 o'clock today. Some analysts think that they don't. They're saying that back in 2013, when the Lagos State government bought back LCC, part of the money went to paying off the debt. So the first question is whether or not that's true. If that's true, the second question is, did the state government borrow new debt to pay off that old one? And if the answer is no, the third question is, if the state government has paid off the money that LCC used to build the road and the bridge, why is money still being collected at the toll gate? But yeah, let's delve deeply into that particular story from 5 o'clock. Let's talk right now, though, about the question on ground. Do you agree or disagree with the Lagos panel that LCC should resume collecting revenue at the Lekki toll gate? 0700-993-993-993. You can talk to me about the restrictions on cryptocurrency as well. What do you think about CBN stopping banks from serving cryptocurrency exchanges? Do you own cryptocurrency? Is it an investment for you? Is it a means to keep your savings? Or is it a way for you to send and receive money? How is this order affecting you? What do you think about our guests' position that the CBN is really doing this because its forex reserves are dropping? And what's more important, the possible impact of crypto on the CBN or the possible impact of the ban on the economy? Let's talk to Paul Osas in Okota. Hello, Paul. Thanks for calling us.
Yeah, good afternoon, Sandra.
Good afternoon. Welcome. Go ahead.
Fine. How was your weekend?
Good. How was yours?
Fine.
Go ahead.
I'm calling. Yeah, I listened to your first analysis, so to speak, concerning cryptocurrency and the likes.
Mm-hmm.
But the one I really want to talk on to you about is your second story.
Yes, go ahead.
Basically, the reason for setting up panels is supposed to have been, you know, having heard and from all angles, then judges there will conclude on the way forward.
Mm-hmm.
But it's nice, like they are trying to have their way. And according to you, the fact that votes for the left, you know, we, whenever we speak, we know where this country is going to stand. The panel that they said, so most of us said it, there is nothing reasonable, logical that will come out of that place. And we begin to see it unfolding. You understand?
Mm.
It's supposed to be, you will finally, let the panel recommend, you know, the offender, what is going to happen. So people that were paralyzed by this, you know, a lot of issues that, that panel and things, all this why they're supposed to have by now streamlined things on how to compensate people and the like. Those are the main issues that you're supposed to be talking about.
Mm.
But now we are talking about making it so good. You know, we know we are gathering money for presidency, but we leave everything for us. We know what we know. Thank you very much.
Paul Osas, thank you. Very cryptic message there. We've got Ezekiel in Aja on the line. Hello, Ezekiel. Thank you very much for calling us.
Yeah, Sandra, good evening.
Good evening, welcome.
Hey, can I talk about the Lekki toll gate or is not now?
Yeah, go ahead. We've already gotten there. Go ahead.
Sandra.
Hmm.
The point is this. The law is made to guarantee success. Any abuse of the law for the reason for which it's established will result in backwardness.
Hmm.
That is retrogression.
Okay.
Am I right, Sandra?
Okay.
Very good. You see, I've seen a government daring its citizens. Nigeria is number one. Imagine the massacre that happened at that toll gate. And even if the five people have worked out, should that be a reason for which the panel should declare that should declare the reopening of that toll gate? Huh. But there is one thing I do know. That nothing goes forever. And I foresee what they will never be able to imagine. Thank you, Sandra.
Thank you very much, Ezekiel, for calling us. We've got a message on WhatsApp that says the US is not breaking to trace. The exchanges are voluntarily giving US government the identity of wallet owners. Okay, so I guess you're talking about the cryptocurrencies and this anonymity that people are worried about. You're also saying that things like... hold on, let me try to see where you put that message again. Oh, I think I've lost it. All right. You say the cryptography only hides the identity during the transaction. But if the CBN gets the exchanges and banks to reveal the identity of wallet holders, you can trace them. All right. And this person confirms what I said about the IRS. Thank you very much for sending your message in. We've got Eden Oshodi who says they're banning because they know that the youth can actually do well with cryptos. For instance, during the NSAS, funding was by cryptos while government wanted to weaken its power. The government is only witch hunting the youth. They fear that we can do so much and we know so much. Eden Oshodi, thank you for your message. I've got another message here from Femi. And Femi says, Sandra, the only reason this is happening is because the government doesn't want money to come into the pockets of people they cannot control. NSAS protests showed us what happened after the government restricted bank accounts. People started using crypto. We know all these things. Okay, Femi. Ifanyi says, Sandra, the simple and honest truth is that the bank and the government are not transparent with money. Lagos, let's bring you our final story before we have to wrap on the show. Today on Madam Landlord, by the way, we're going to talk about tenants. And we're going to talk about... We're also going to talk about landlords. Who gives the worst experience? Which one have you had the worst experience for, or as a landlord or as a tenant? We'll have that conversation from 4 o'clock. We're switching gears at 4, so I'm just getting your mind ready. But there was a bit of back and forth between the federal government and some newspapers over some COVID-19 vaccines from the World Health Organization. So the WHO held a press conference on Friday to discuss the latest on the war on COVID in Africa. And they talked about vaccines. Two sets of vaccines are coming into Africa this week. The first is a batch of vaccines from COVAX, and they're mostly Oxford AstraZeneca vaccines. Africa is expecting about 90 million of those vaccines in batches. And the second group of vaccines are about 320,000, and they're coming from the WHO. They are Pfizer vaccines, and the WHO said that 13 African countries wrote proposals to them, but only 4 were chosen. They said they chose them using 3 criteria: current mortality rates, new cases and trends, and the ability of the countries to store the vaccines at minus 70 degrees. Because remember, you have to freeze the Pfizer vaccine. So the 4 countries that got these Pfizer vaccines were Cape Verde, Tunisia, Rwanda, and South Africa, not Nigeria. The WHO did not say which of the reasons made them pick these guys over Nigeria, but some newspapers started reporting that it was because we don't have the cooling capacity. And some newspapers went even further. They said the WHO had disqualified Nigeria from getting vaccines or had suspended our access to vaccines. So WHO had to come out to say, that's not what happened. Here's what their representative, Kasadi Mulombo, said. He said, quote, WHO is part of COVAX facility and can never disqualify a member state from accessing an approved vaccine for their population. I call upon members of the press in Nigeria and globally to contribute to fighting misinformation, end quote. And the government fired back as well. We heard from Dr. Faisal Shuaib, the DG and CEO of the National Primary Healthcare Development Agency. And he said, as clearly stated by the WHO regional director, there are a number of factors that are considered in allocating the small quantity of the 320,000 vaccines from Pfizer to COVAX countries. These include the mortality rates from COVID-19, the number of new cases, the trend in the number of cases, the population of countries, and the availability of appropriate cold chain equipment. It is clear that countries such as South Africa, which received the Pfizer allocation, have the new strain of the COVID-19 virus, has the highest mortality rates, and is struggling to contain transmission. Given smaller countries such as Cape Verde and Rwanda, few doses of the Pfizer vaccine would have a larger public health impact considering their population size, end quote. So I'm bringing this to you because I know that you've been hearing about this from different places, and I needed you to hear the facts, and I need you to hear what all sides have actually said. Now, there's 3 weeks left in the month, so we're going to have real answers soon enough. It's either we see vaccines or we won't, but Nigeria Info will stay on that particular story. Now, Lagos, what do you think about the way some newspapers covered this vaccine news? What do you think of the responses by WHO and the Nigerian government? Let's take a break. We'll be right back. Don't go away. On today's big weekend, we talked about the central bank stopping all financial institutions from serving companies that handle cryptocurrency. And then we talked about the WHO and the federal government correcting some newspaper reports about vaccine availability. And then we talked about the Lagos NSARS panel letting LCC restart revenue collection at the Lekki Toll Plaza. Our number is 0700-993-993-993. Let's hear your thoughts on these three stories. We're going to talk about cryptocurrencies some more on Wednesday, Balogun and Broad. 5 p.m. And then we're going to talk some more about the Lekki Tollgate Plaza today at 5 p.m. So if you cannot call in right now, you can call in on those days. 99.3. Hello. Sorry about that. Call back if you can. The number to call is 0700-993-993-993. Hello. Thanks for calling us.
This is Cassandra.
What's your name, sir?
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Komedi
Kechukwu, a.k.a. Kubukoma from Water Farm.
Welcome.
I want to just speak on one point. Concerning that target that they want to reopen and collect money. It will be a very wicked thing against the youth of Nigeria. If they open that place and started collecting back money, it will be a very wicked against Nigeria youth. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much for calling us. 99.3.
Hello.
What's your name, sir?
To round up my thoughts, is Ebuka Kodbas.
Oh, Ebuka, welcome back.
In non-show, Federal CBN, I beg, more than higher sophisticated guys to handle this thing instead of you to fight what you don't know. Did you get? Because Bitcoin, cryptocurrency has come to stay and it's not going. Though I'm not in the business, but I know a bit about it because I invested money in it, but I'm not that interested because I'm in the marketplace. But see, Sandra, in a big business, may they know pursue guys, because that thing is here to stay. Thank you very much.
Hey, Buka, thank you for calling back. I don't know how they do it. These people are calling more than once. 99.3, how are you?
Good afternoon, Sandra Ezekwese.
Good afternoon. What's your name, sir?
It's Emma from Akoka.
Welcome.
So in my village, you say that you're looking for a snake doesn't mean you should kill every animal that is long. That is the problem of the CBN. Okay. You understand? Because you want to stop something, you're going to create more damage. You know, for the cobra effect, literally called the cobra effect. You're trying to provide a solution. You create more problems. Do you understand? You say that they want to fight corruption. They want to stop crime. When you tell somebody, you don't want someone to find a black goat, you tell them to look for it in the night. Since 10 years, Boko Haram, have you found the people? No. But suddenly, the crypto is the problem. Do you understand? That's why I say that a man that cannot break cola nut should not be made a red cap chief. A lot of incompetent people leading very intelligent people. That's the clash of generations. Incompetent people leading. This is not the party issue. I don't care how old you are. If you don't know it, you don't know it. Someone said, go and consult with young people. One day, how do they do this thing? No. But because...
Thank you very much for calling him. That's it. That's the final call we can take on that subject, because we need to take a break and bring you business news. And after business news, we'll switch gears and talk about real estate in Nigeria. Who are more problematic, tenants or landlords? I think I'm going to put this up on Twitter as a poll and see how people vote. If you still want to talk about Lekki Tollgate, 5 p.m. is the time to call me. If you want to talk about cryptocurrencies some more, 5 p.m. on Wednesday is the day to call me. You're listening to Hard Facts on 99.3 Nigeria Info. I'm Sandra Ezekwesili. Don't go away, Lagos.